Today's daf is Chulin daf Chaf Aleph. We left off on daf Chaf Amabez. We had a chiddush of Ziri in the second wide line of daf Chaf Amabez. Ziri's chiddush was that Nishbra Mefarekis Verov Basra Ima Nevela, that if the neck bone and the majority of the basra that surrounds the neck bone and that really supports the spine is broken, then the animal's already in nevela. That's already has the din of a nevela. It's as good as dead. So the Gemara was discussing, well, if it's as good as dead at that point, is there any mitzvah of malika? How could you do malika after the point that it's already as good as dead? So we're picking up again from that, from Amar Rava. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines before the end of the page. Amar Rava, I kashali ha kashali. Rava says, if I'm bothered by anything, this is my kasha. V'chi mesa omeru malik. Meaning, in order to do malika, you start from the back of the neck and you cut through, you pierce right through with the fingernail until you get to the simanim. Now, by the time you got to the simanim, you already broke the neck bone, and you broke the rov basar. So according to Ziri, when you break the neck bone and rov basar, and you break through rov basar, it's already dead. So you're doing malika on a dead animal. The ikur malika is the cutting of the simanim. By the time you get to the simanim, the animal's already dead. So how does that make sense that you're doing malika on an animal that's already in a vela? So well, why don't you ask the same kasha by Yonola Sa'of? In order to shecht a chata sa'of, you only shecht one simen of the bird, and that's considered to kill it. That takes care of it. So why is it by Yonola Sa'of you have to cut two simanim? After all, by the time you're cutting the second simen, the bird is dead already. So we have a mitzvah to shecht a dead bird, a bird that's already dead. V'chi mesa omeru malek. Do we do malika on a dead animal? Does that make any sense? Amalei hasam kedei lekayim ba mitzvah savdala. So he said, no, don't ask me a kasha from the Olas Ha'of. You're right. In terms of the shechita, there's no act of shechita on a dead animal. It's already dead, you're right. We wouldn't have to shech the second simen in terms of hilchas shechita. But there's a separate mitzvah by Olas Ha'of called the mitzvah savdala, that you need to be mavdil, the head from the body. You need to decapitate, so to speak, the head from the body. So therefore, this cutting of the second simen is not a din in Hilchos Shechita, it's a din in Hilchos Havdalah. So, Frekta Gemara, Ihachi or Nami, well then, if you got to be Mavdil, if there's really such a din that you need to decapitate it, then you should have to cut through the skin also. It should be completely decapitated to the point that the head is no longer attached to the body whatsoever. So the Gemara says, no, Kala Ma'akev B'Shechita Ma'akev B'Havdalah, V'Kal Sheinu Ma'akev B'Shechitainu Ma'akev B'Havdalah. Only those parts of the animal that are ma'akev the shechita, namely the simanim of the animal, are ma'akev b'avdala. It's just that by shechita you only have to cut one simen, but it could be either one, and by avdala you have to make sure you cut both simanim. But the or is not even part of the shechita. Cutting of the skin is not part of the shechita. Memela, it's not part of the havdala either. It's not part of the mitzvah of havdala. Frakta Gemara, is that rule really true? Anything that's not ma'akev the shechita is not ma'akev havdala. V'hamiyut simanim l'rabbanan delo ma'akvi b'shechita u'ma'akvi b'avdala. The Rabbanan hold that when there's a mitzvah havdala, it means that you have to cut the entire shnei simanim. You can't just cut rove of shnei simanim. You need to cut the entire shnei simanim. So if that's true, that you have to cut the entire two simanim, well, we know that the last little bit of each simen is not ma'akev by shechita. By shechita, on an oaf, all you need to do is rove simen echad. You need to cut the majority of a single simen. Now again, whichever one you want, but it needs to be only the majority. So that last little bit, that last minority of the simen, is not part of the mitzvah of shechita. It's not ma'akev the shechita. So why is it ma'akev the havdala according to the Rabbanan? Why is the last little bit part of and a critical part of the mitzvah's havdala? So says the Gemara, okay, we have to reformulate that rule slightly differently. Not kol shema'akev, but rather kol sheyeshno. Anything that is included in shechita is also included in avdala. The entire simon is included in the ma'aser shechita, so mele the entire shnei simonim is included in the havdala. V'kol sheino b'shechita eino b'avdala. Whatever part of the animal is not part of the shechita, like the or, the cutting through the skin, is not part of the shechita, so it's not part of the havdala either. Good, that's why we're not bothered by the situation frustration by the issue that you're cutting shnei simanim on olas ha'ov. If after all, by the time you cut one simin, the animal's already dead, why is there a mitzvah to cut the second simin? We're not bothered by that, because the mitzvah to cut the second simin is clearly part of the mitzvah's havdalah. It's not part of the mitzvah's shechita, it's part of the mitzvah's havdalah. The mitzvah would be mavdil, the head from the body on the olas ha'ov. But nevertheless, at the end of the day, mikol makom kasha, but we're still back to our first kasha. If you're going to hold like Ze'iri again, on the second wide line of Chafam Beis that Ze'iri said, that if you're that if you break the neck bone and rove basarima, the animal's already in a vela, so the kasha that Rava said 6 lines to the bottom of Chafam Beis, it still stands. If Ze'iri is correct, then what's the idea of Malika? By the time you get to the simanim of the animal, you've already killed it. It's already in a vela. You've already broken the neck bone and rove basarima. So that kasha still stands. Mikal makom kasha, says the Gemara on top line of Chafal Vam Aleph, Amar Rava, Ema v'chein hu osa chotech shidra umifarekes below rov basar. So what you have to say is that the method of doing malika is that you have to avoid the rov basar, the supporting muscle tissue and flesh that supports the spine on the top of the neck, and you got to cut the simanim before you cut that, because if you do cut the rov basar before you cut the simanim, then in hachinami, you've killed the animal before you've done malika, and this is one of the great challenges of Malika. Malika is not an easy thing to do as it is. You have to hold the bird in the same hand with which you're killing it, and you have to kill it with your fingernail. So it's not an easy thing to do as it is, but this is this adds to the challenge that the way you cut it is that you have to be careful to avoid the rov basar. Says Rashi, below rov rochav habasar shel mefrekes da'akati lav meisahi, that if you avoid the rov basar, then it's still not dead by the time you get to cutting the simanim. Does the iri mefrekes rov basar kamar? Because the iri said not just breaking the neck bone is going to make the animal in vela, but only if you break the neck bone together with the rov basar. Fine. Says the Gemara, Kisalik Rabbi Zeira, Ashkichel Rabbi Ami, the Yasuf Kamal al Hashmaita. When Rabbi Zeira went to Eretz Yisrael, and again we discussed last week already how Rabbi Zeira was a big Oev Eretz Yisrael. So when Rabbi Zeira went to Eretz Yisrael, he found that Rabbi Ami was sitting and saying over Ze'iri's din, the din that if you cut them Ferekas and Rav Basar, that it's already in a vela. So Amr Le, so he said to him, V'chi Mesa Omer Malik. He asked exactly the Kasha of Rava. How could that be? Because then by the time you do, when you do Malika, by the time you get to the Simanim, it's already dead. Because you've already cut them for Ekas and Rav Basar. So answers the Gemara, Ishtom Kishachada. So at first he didn't know what to answer. Rashi says, Ishtomim Kishachada means, Shasak Vayimachashiv Mayane. He was quiet and he was thinking about, wow, that's a great question. What am I going to answer to that? And then Omer Le, he thought of an answer. He said, Ema kachuos chotek shidrom frekes below Rav Basar. What you have to say is exactly the answer that Rava gave before. That when we do Malika, you're supposed to cut the spine, you're supposed to cut the neck, but you're not supposed to cut the Rav Basar. The Rav Basar should be avoided. Tanya Namiachi, and we have a brisa that says exactly like that. Ketzad molkin chatas ha'ov. How do you do Malika on a chatas ha'ov? And Rashi points out that the important halacha to realize is by chatas ha'of there is no mitzvah savdala. Not only is there no mitzvah savdala, no mitzvah to be mavdil, the guf, from the head, but there is an iser havdala. By chatas ha'of, it dafka says in the Torah, v'lo yavdil, that you're not allowed to separate the body from the head. So how do you do melika on chatas ha'of? Chotech shidra umfarekes below rov basar. You cut through the spine and the neck bone without cutting through the supporting muscle and basar of the spine. Ad shemagi, so basically the spine gets to stay in place even though you've cut it. Ad shemagi leveshet al kana, until you get to one of the simanim, the kana or the veshet. Higia leveshet al kana, when you get to one of the simanim, chotech simin echad or rubo, you can then cut the one simin or the majority of one simin, and then verov basarimo, and then you can cut through as well the rov basar. But the rov basar should not be cut prior to cutting the simen. If you cut the Rav Basar before you cut the simen, then you've killed the animal before you've done an act of malika, and that is not good. You're not supposed to kill the animal before you do the malika, because then it's a nevela before you even get to the malika. That's by a chatos. By an ola, it's different. The ola, the halach, is going to be slightly different, because as we said before, an ola sa'of, not only is there no iser of havdalah, there's a mitzvah havdalah. You're supposed to be mavdil the body from the head when it comes to an ola. So ba'ola shnayim or rov shnayim. By an ola, the way to be mavdil, the definition of the mitzvah havdalah, as we said before, is not to cut, to literally decapitate it, where you cut it off, you detach the head from the body entirely, or even cut through the skin. No, you cut shnei simanim, or the majority of shnei simanim. So the Gemara is just going to point out, wait a second, shnei simanim, or the majority of shnei simanim, that's actually a machlokas, whether you're supposed to cut shnei simanim or you're supposed to cut the majority of shnei simanim when you do the malika of an ola. So if that's a machlokas, then it's difficult to understand how the Braisa could just say shnei simanim or rov shnayim. Well, which shita is the Braisa going like? If we're going like the shita that holds that it's supposed to be shnei simanim, so just say shnei simanim. Majority of shnei simanim wouldn't be good enough. If you're going like the shita that you're supposed to cut just the majority of shnei simanim, so say the majority of shnei simanim. So it says the Gemara, money. I rabbanon ha'amri shnayim davka. If we're assuming like the rabbanon say you need to cut shnei simanim entirely, not the majority of shnei simanim. The majority is not good enough. Ik Rav Elazar Rabbi Shimon, and if we're assuming like Rav Elazar Rabbi Shimon, ha'amar rov shnayim. Rav Elazar Rabbi Shimon says you cut rov shnayim. So why would you mention shnei simanim? And not only why would you mention, Rav Elazar Rabbi Shimon holds you're not allowed to cut shnei simanim entirely. You have to dafka cut rov shnayim and no more than rov shnayim. So if that's the case, who's this brisa going like? So the Gemara has two possibilities. Number one, Ema shnayim rabban rov shnayim rav Elazar Rabbi Shimon. One answer is maybe the brisa is trying to tell you, depending who you hold like, you either cut shnayim or rov shnayim. The brisa is accounting for both shitos. So it's saying if you hold like the rabbanon, you should cut shnayim. If you hold like Rav Elazar Rabbi Shimon, you should cut rov shnayim. So that's already included in the brisa. The Iba Yisema hava ha Rav Elazar Rabbi Shimon. Or it could be that the entire brisa is going like Rav Elazar Rabbi Shimon. Rav Elazar Rabbi Shimon says you're supposed to cut rov shnayim, you're not allowed to cut shnayim. Umay shnayim shedomen l'shnayim. Shnayim just means that it's like you cut two, that it's rubo kakula or whatever. When you cut rov shnayim, that's ki'ilu, you cut shnayim. That l'chadchila, you should cut the rov and not the entire thing, and that's just as good as what you would have imagined cutting the entire siman amar. Cutting rov shnayim is a din l'chadchila, as long as it's an obvious rov, but it has to be an obvious rov that looks almost like you've cut the entire thing. Fine, so that's how we understand that brisa. But the reason we brought in that brisa is just to show that if you cut the mfarekas and rov basar, then enochinami, before you cut any of the simanim, then enochinami, that's an invalid malika, because you've already rendered the animal an avela before you even got to the simanim. Period. Amar Rav Yudah Shmuel. Nishpura mafrekes v'rov basri ma mitami ba'ohel. Now, since we have this din of Zeiri, that when you cut the neck bone and the majority of the basar, it's already in a vela, well, therefore, on a human being, if you were to cut the neck bone and the rov basar, the dead body is already mitami ba'ohel. This is obviously talking about a human being. An animal that's in a vela is mitami b'mangel masa, is not mitami ba'ohel. There is no tumas ohel by a nevela, there's only tumas ohel by a person. So over here we're saying the parallel by a person, if you're going to consider it an avela by an animal, we consider it death by a person. When you decapitate a person, the person is definitely considered dead. So it's therefore mitame ba'ohel. I think this is one of Rabbi Tendler did some sort of experiment where he tries to prove his brain death shita based on, he did some sort of experiment where he decapitated something, an animal, and hooked it up to a machine and had its heart going for a while after it was decapitated. And he said decapitation l'kulei alma is death. So you see that just because the heart can be kept going on a machine, that's not necessarily the definition of life. Okay, whatever you hold about that, but the point is that decapitation is definitely death. I think everyone agrees to that. If you cut off someone's head, that person is safely assumed to be dead. So vim tomar oso maisa de'eli mefarekes below rov basar avais. So says the Gemara, well, wait a second. What happened with Eli HaKohen? When Eli HaKohen, when his children went out to war and they died and the Aron was taken. So the whole Maisi, he was a very old man, he was 98 years old, and they came back and they told him that your children died in war, and then they told him that the Plishtim had taken the Aron, and he fell backwards on his chair, and he broke his neck, and he died. So now that situation, the Psukim tell us that he broke his neck. It does not say anything about Rov Basar, and yet he died right away with breaking his neck. So how can we say that when is a person considered dead? When it's Mafrekas V'Rov Basar, when it's not just the neck, but it's also Rov Basar. By Eli, we didn't have Rov Basar. So don't you see that that just breaking the neck alone is enough to kill a person? So Gemara says, Zikna Shaini. There was another factor in Eli's health, and that was the fact that he was 98 years old. So as an old man, it's likely that when he breaks his neck, even without breaking the Rov Basar, it's going to kill him. Dechsiv, as the Pasuk says, and the Gemara is saying that the Pasuk, as it tells us about how he dies, specifically points out his old age, even though he so obviously didn't die of old age. He died of a terrible fall. So it wasn't that he died of old age, but why does it tell us about the fact that he was an old man? To tell us that that contributed to his death, that the breaking of the neck alone, had he been a young man, would not have killed him. When they told him about the Aron Elokim, how the Aron was taken by the Plishtim, he fell backwards from his chair. Ba'ad yad hashar v'tishaber mafrakto v'yamas kizakin ish v'chaved. That he died. Why? Because kizakin ish. Because he was an old man. So what do you mean that? Because he was. And the pasuk says v'hu shafat Yisrael arbam shana. And it goes on to tell us about his career, that he had judged Israel for 40 years. He was a great leader in Klal Yisrael. But again, it tells us he died and he was an old man. Why tell us he was an old man? So it must be that the age contributed to the death. Normally, breaking the neck alone would not do it. You need the neck and Rov Basar in order to kill a person. Now, the Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Chaim, Simon Kuf Beis, Sif Beis, writes, Yesh Misha Omer, Shem Hayoshev B'tzada Mispalel, Cholush, Normally, there's a halacha. You're not supposed to sit within Dalet Amos of someone who's davening. But the Shulchan Aruch says that if a person is weak and it's difficult for them to stand, so you're allowed to sit even within Dalet Amos of someone davening. Now that halacha that you're not supposed to sit within Dalet Amos of someone davening, the Gemara in Brachos Lamed Aleph and Beis learns out from Eli that when Chana was davening, it says Omad Eli. Eli stood up. So you see that he didn't want to sit within Dalet Amos of somebody davening. You see that that you have to stand. So Frek the Taz, Sifkat and Dalim and Simon Kuf Beis, that wait a second, if Eli was an old man, so the halach of a chalush is the same as the halach of a zakein. A weak person and a zakein always have the same din. So if Eli was in fact an old man, an age as a contributing factor, how could you say that if a person is weak, they're allowed to sit within Dalet Amos of someone davening? The very makar for the halacha that you're not allowed to sit within Dalet Amos of someone davening is about Eli. And Eli was old. He had a din of a chalosh. He was a zakein of a chalosh. He was a zakein. How can we have such a heter that goes against the very source of the halacha? And the Taz says, therefore, he thinks that even if you're weak, you're not allowed to sit within Dalet Amos someone davening, because even if you're old, clearly from Eli we see you're not allowed to sit within Dalet Amos somebody davening. So all of the achronim on the page of the Shulchan Aruch, the Shari Tshuva, the Vilna Gaon, they all point out that this Taz is incomprehensible. What in the world is he talking about? Eli was old once. He was also young once. Eli had a long life. He lived 98 years old. When he was 20, he wasn't old. When he was 30, he wasn't old. When he was 98, he was old. When did the story with Chana happen? It happened 40 years before his death. He was 58 years old at the time. By nobody's definition is a 58-year-old a zakein. So that's why we could learn from Eli. Just because the Gemara over here says he was a zakein, that's when he died he was a zakein. That's when he had a din of a zakein. Very, very difficult to understand. There is a machlokas at exactly what age a person starts having a din of a zakein. Legabe the halach mipnei seva takum v'darta pnei zakein. There's a halach that you're supposed to stand for an older person. So there's a machlokas between the Mishnah and Pirkei Avos, I think, and the And the Targum, I think it is, that at what age a person is considered a zaken and versus a seva, whether it's 60 or 70. But by 58, a person is neither. He's neither a zaken nor a seva. Now, we, Paschal Malacha, the word zaken in Chumash, when they say we talk about Dati Pnei Zaken, means Zesha Kana Chachma, the Gemara in Kedushin says, is referring to a Talmud Chacham. Seva is a reference to an older person. So if seva means a 70-year-old, then you would have to stand for a seva. If it's been shivim l'seva, so you'd have to stand for a 70-year-old. If it's been shishim l'seva, so then you would have to stand for a 60-year-old. Fine, but that's the halach of a zaken versus a seva, whether it's 60 or 70 years old. But there's no din of a 58-year-old, and that's how old Eli was at the time. At the time that this episode with Chana happened, from where we learned this entire halacha. So that's a very, very challenging thing, very difficult to understand what the Taz is talking about. Also, another point, the Rambam in Hilchos Tumas Meis, Perek Aleph, Halacha Tevav, is not mechalik between a Nar and a Zaken in regards to breaking a neck and Rov Basarima. He's not mechalik at all between a Nar and a Zaken. So in the Sefer Omer HaShikcha, quoted over here in the Shar Mitzion Ba'alacha, Rav Yeshaya Pick, Omer HaShikcha, he wonders about this Rambam, how the Rambam could not be mechalik between a Yelad and a Zaken. And he has an interesting comment. He says, you know, the Rambam was human. So as much as we say that there's got to be pshat in every Rambam, sometimes the pshat has to just be that maybe he forgot a maramakom here and there. And, you know, he was a human being. He says, but this is not one of those times. Because the Rambam was clearly writing these halachos with the Gemara Chul and Daf Chaf Aleph open in front of him. This is the sugya. So it's not shayich that he forgot this chilik between a Zaken and a young man. That's explicit in the Gemara. If it's a makar at a left field, so he says, I'm not opposed to saying maybe that the Rambam forgot a makar. That's not our tradition. We are opposed to saying that. We generally, you know, come up with the pshat in every Rambam. But he says, but over here you can't say such a thing. So what is the pshat? So he says the Rambam must have had a different girsa in our Gemara. Maybe he had a nusach like the She'iltos has in Parshas Emor, which doesn't make this chilik between an older man and a younger man. In the Be'er Yitzchak, he writes that by Eli we find that he died immediately when he fell down, and there was no pirchus whatsoever. His body didn't quiver, didn't jump at all, and that's why the Gemara asks, how can you say that shrius mefarekas alone doesn't make a person dead? We see by Eli that the breaking of the neck bone itself caused his complete death immediately. So the Gemara answers that in that situation, the zikna caused him to die right away al yaday the breaking of his neck. But normally, if a person's neck breaks and he's still jumping, even if he's a zaken, he's not metame ba'ol, he's still considered kechai. But it doesn't mean that it's not going to kill him. So that's why the Rambam maybe wasn't mechalik. Maybe the Rambam thought that the Gemara's point was just a chilik between how soon it will kill him, but not that that it's not going to kill him. Okay, back to the Gemara. Amr Shulba Nachmeni Amr B'Yochanan Karu Kedag Metame Ba'ol. If they rip a person or an animal open like a fish, if you rip an animal open like a fish on the back, the way you rip open a fish to take out the insides, you slice it all along, straight along the length of the fish. So if you were to do that to an animal, to a person rather, it's Metame Ba'ohel. The person would then be considered definitely dead and Tame Ba'ohel. Amr Shulba Yitzchak Umi Gabo. That's only if they cut the person along his back, but if they cut him along his front, then he's not metame ba'ohel, just because he was cut along the length. Amar Shmuel, Asa Gistera Nevela. If you cut an animal in two pieces, clean into two pieces, so that animal is a nevela. An animal cannot survive. You cut it right down the middle into two pieces, like the magician with the, cutting the body in half. That for sure makes the animal a nevela. Otherwise, it wouldn't be magic, right? Amar Rav Elazar, so Rav Elazar says, Nita la yerech v'chalal shala nevela. Another halacha, if the animal's yerech, its entire thigh was removed, including the chalal shala, including the socket where it normally where the leg rests, that's considered a nevela. How high up does the leg have to be cut out for it to be considered a nevela? As long as if you would even see when it were sitting down, when it were crouching down, you would even notice that it's missing something, that's called a nevela, right? Because normally when it's crouching down, you don't see its legs. So then you see, if you can still notice something is missing, then it's obviously more than just the leg that's missing, it's the entire socket as well. It's not us, and we have a Mishnah. Hutzu Rashayim Afalpi shemefarches in tamein. Rashi understands this Tanan Hasam is talking about a sheretz, that if the head of the sheretz is cut off, even though the sheretz is still jumping around, it's tamei like a regular dead sheretz. It's considered to be a dead sheretz. Tosos points out that this Mishnah is in fact not said about a sheretz at all. It says it about a behemah chayav ha'of in Maseches Alos, and not about shratzim. But if you say that it's talking about a behemah chayav ha'of, this is going to be a problem, because it seems to be that it's going to be against Ze'iri, who says that you don't even need to have the head cut off entirely. All you need is mefrekas or rov basar, and it's already a nevela. The animal's already considered dead. So why is it dafka? Why would we say that it has to be entirely cut off? So for that reason, the Rishonim point out, that's why Rashi would rather say it's talking about a sheretz, that we don't want this to be going against Ze'iri. Ze'iri's din still stands, that an animal's not considered dead until you cut off, it's until you break its neck and rove basar, but at that point it's considered dead. The sheretz, only when you're completely decapitated. So Tananasim Hutzu Roshem Alfishem Farchas and Tmein. Aye, it's still jumping around. Yeah, because Zanav Haltashem Farchesas. If you ever cut off a lizard's tail, the tail jumps around still, even after you cut it off. Now, the tail is obviously not alive. It was cut off. It's obviously dead. And nevertheless, it still jumps around. My Hutzu. What does it mean you cut off the head? So Reish Lakshamar Hutzu Mamish. He says it means you cut off the head. You take it off clean. Ravasi Amar Rabbi Mani. Kavdala Ola Sa'of. No, it means the same thing as we say as the mitzvah Havdala on an Ola Sa'of. What's the mitzvah Havdala on an Ola Sa'of? To cut Rov Simanim, to cut Shnei Simanim. It doesn't mean to literally decapitate the Ola Sa'of. So over here also, we're not talking about literally decapitating it. Amle Rabbi Yamila Rabbi Asi, Kavdala Ola Sa'of for Rabbanu Vlo Palgisu, Adumla Kavdala Ola Sa'of for Rablazer Rabbi Shimon Palgisu. Well, wait a second. We had a machlokes what you're supposed to do with the Ola Sa'of. The Rabbanan said you have to cut all of the simanim in their entirety. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon said you only cut rov simanim. So when you say that it's supposed to be like Avdalos Olasaof, do you mean like the Shita of the Rabbanan, and therefore you're not arguing? You're saying that it has to be completely decapitated, like the Rabbanan say that Olasaof has to be kola simanim? Or do you mean to say like Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, that you only need to cut rov simanim like Avdalos Olasaof, and therefore you're arguing on the first Shita that said Hutsu means Hutsu Mamish? Reish Lakish, who said Hutsu means Hutsu Mamish, that you completely cut it off. So Ravasi says in the name of Rabbi Mani, no, I meant like Havdalah Sol Sa'of in the view of Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, which would then mean that you're not cutting it off entirely. Even cutting Rov Simanim would be considered Hataza. So when we say Hit is Rosho of the Sheretz, that it's already Mitameh, so Reish Lakish said that means only if you cut it off entirely. So Ravasi says, no, not if you cut it off entirely, if you cut it off like Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon's cutting of the Ola Sa'ov, where you're only cutting it off mostly, but not entirely. Ikada Amri, others have a different version of this discussion, where he didn't have to clarify, because he said at the outset whose Shita he was working within. That Rabbi Shimon Lakshamar Hutsu Mamish, Reish Lakish said that Hutsu means completely decapitated. Rabbi Asi, Amar Rabbi Mani, Kavdalas Ola Sa'of, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon Barov Shnayim. He said right out at the outset that it's, no, that when, as soon as you cut from the sheretz, like the amount that you would cut for Avdalos Ola Sa'of, according to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, which is only Rov Shnayim, at that point it's considered dead and it's metameh. So my Rabban and my Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, where do we have these shitos of the Rabban and Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon? We're referring to these shitos that exist, that when you cut an Ola Sa'of, according to the Rabban, it has to be kol shnayim, according to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, only rov shnayim. Where do we find these shitos? So we have a brisa that records three opinions about an Ola Sa'of, and that's that brisa that takes us through the rest of the daf. The Tanya, we have a brisa as follows. Vesasheni yase Ola kamishpat. Pasuk says you should take the second bird and make it an Ola kamishpat. What does kamishpat mean? It's referring back to some other halacha. So kamishpat chatas behema. So the Tanakhama says it must be referring to the halacha of a chatas behema. So atomer kamishpat chatas behema, elenu kamishpat chatas sa'of. Well, wait a second. If we're talking about an ola sa'of over here, why would I compare it to a chatas behema? Maybe I should compare it to a chatas sa'of. So kshomer v'hikrivo, chilek hakasa ben chatas sa'of lola sa'of. When it says v'hikrivo, it's telling me that in some way this bird is different than a chatas sa'of. So we're dafka being mechalik between the olas ha'of and the chatas ha'of. So what are we comparing the olas ha'of to? Must be to chatas behema. So mani mekayim kemishpat, kemishpat chatas behema. So what's the comparison? The comparison is to a chatas behema. So in some way, we still haven't said in what way, but in some way, the olas ha'of is supposed to be just like a chatas behema. What way? Ma chatas behema, just like a chatas behema. Eino ba'a elamin achulin. Cannot be purchased with Maaser Sheni money. It has to be purchased with regular chulin money. Uba yom, and it has to be slaughtered during the day. Carbon chatas cannot be brought at night. It has to dafka be brought during the day. Ubi yado hayamanis, and you have to do the avoda with the right hand. Af olasaof, so to buy an olasaof, ain't a bayal min achulin. It can only be purchased with chulin money. Uba yom, and everything, all the avodas of the olasaof has to be done during the daytime. Ubi yado hayamanis, and it has to be done with the right hand. If we're going to compare it to Chatas Behema, Imal Alon Berov Shnayim, Afkan Berov Shnayim, by Chatas Behema, cutting Rove of Shnei Simanim is good enough. Is that good enough by Olas Ha'of as well, where there's a mitzvah of Havdalah to cut Rove Shnayim, or do you need to cut Kol Shnayim? Tamalomar Umalak Vehiktir, Ma'ak Tara Rosh Ba'atmo Vaguf Ba'atmo, just like when you burn the Olas Ha'of, the head is burnt separately from the body. So to the Malika of the Olas Ha'of, the head is separate and the body is separate. So there you see right away the sheet of the Rabbanan, that when you do Malika on an Olas Ha'of, you can't cut just Rov Shnayim. You need to cut Kol Shnayim. That's the mitzvah of Avdallah. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, second shita, not the shita of Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, that's the third shita. Rabbi Shmuel is a shita we haven't seen yet. Kamishbat chatas ha'of. The kamishbat means it should be like the chatas ha'of. Ma chatas ha'of mimul oref, af olas ha'of mimul oref. In the sense that, just like chatas ha'of, you do the malika from the back of the neck, so too the olas ha'of you do from the back of the neck. But wait a second, if you're going to compare the Olasov to the Chatasov, should you say that there's no mitzvahs Havdalah by an Olasov? Because by the Chatasov, it's Velo Yavdil, there's an Isra Havdalah. So there should be an Isra Havdalah by an Olasov as well? Tamalomar V'Krivo. That's why V'Krivo comes and tells me that no, in some way, the Olasov is different than the Chatasov, and that is within the mitzvah of Havdalah. But now, Rabbi Shimon Shita, the Shita that we've been talking about all the time. So we've spoken about the Rabbanan, which was Shita number 1, and we've spoken about Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, which is now Shita number 3. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon Omer Kemishpat Chatas Ha'of, that we're comparing Olas Ha'of to Chatas Ha'of, but in the following way, Mala Alon Oches Barosh Ubuguf Umaze, just like by the Chatas Ha'of, you hold the head and the body and you sprinkle the blood, Afkan Oches Barosh Ubuguf Umaze. So to by the Olas Ha'of, you hold the head and the body and you sprinkle the blood. Well, my Kamer, what does that mean? You hold the head and the body and sprinkle the blood. Hachikamer means say as follows: Mala alon kishu achus harosh biguf mazeh. Just like by the chatas ha'of, that you sprinkle the blood when the head is still attached to the body partially. Because chatas ha'of, it's an iser avdallah. You're not allowed to be mavdil the head from the body, so it's still attached to the body partially. Afkan kishu achus harosh biguf mazeh. So too, by the Olas Ha'of, the head is still supposed to be attached to the body when you're mazed. That's the sheet of Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, that you don't cut kol shnei simanim, you only cut rov shnei simanim. But wait a second, by the chatas ha'of, the head is still attached to the body by one full simen remaining completely intact. By the Olas Ha'of, you're supposed to cut rov shnei simanim. So you're going to say by Olas Ha'of that there's still one full simen still intact? That's what we do with the pasuk v'kriva. So all three shitos try to balance the kamishpat and v'kriva and tell me in some way it's comparable to something else and in some way it's independent, but how they land tells you the various possibilities of what one is supposed to do in terms of the malika of the Olas Ha'of. Okay, we'll stop there.